chapter 2. Psalms 103. And Colossians chapter 2. I've said this before. Especially at night when I lay down, I quote this song, these verses back to the Lord, because, folks, we are so blessed of the Lord. In verses 1 and 2, bless the Lord, O my soul. Think about this. Your soul, bless God. We usually have it around, Lord, bless my soul, don't we? But here the psalmist said, Lord. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Let my soul bless God. I want you to think about that. Let your soul bless God. Think of all the blessings he's given you. And so this is what the psalmist is saying. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Really mean it. Bless the Lord. I want to bless the Lord for what he's done for me. Amen? And look at verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Look what all the Lord has did for you. And especially he's given you salvation. Folks, salvation is priceless. You can't buy salvation. You can't purchase it. And it's give to you. So the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't you forget for a second how God has blessed you. He's kept you, given you a life. He saved you, I hope. Amen? So don't forget all the blessings. You know, we can be a people, I want this, I want that. We're at that time of the season of the year with a lot of people. I want this, I want that. Hey, be satisfied with what God's give you. Amen? And bless the Lord that he saved you. And one day he's going to come get you. Amen? Boy, I tell you what, folks. We just can't praise the Lord enough and thank the Lord enough. And so that's kind of the context in which I want to make our message today as we go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. That's the writing of Paul. And I'm not going to read this chapter, but as we go along today, we'll be looking at various scriptures in this chapter. Now, I'm not going to talk on the whole chapter, but there's 8 things I want us to look at together this morning. 8 different things that stand out in this letter that was written to Paul to the Colossians. In Colossians chapter, I got some help today. I didn't know I was going to have help, but I'll take it. Amen. Amen. In Colossians 2, for I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. The Apostle Paul, is writing this letter from a prison church. Now, y'all sitting here in church today, you're not in prison. You ever been in prison? I've never been except to go see somebody a few times. And I don't like it when I hear that clang behind me either, even though I know they're supposed to let me out. But Paul was where he couldn't be let out. He was in a Roman prison writing to this church, and they had never seen him and he'd never seen them. But he's writing to them this important letter. Christians, as I said, had never seen him there. But Paul was writing them and to talk to them about the mysteries of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things we don't know about the Lord, even though we got the word of the Lord. And boy, I tell you what, when we get to heaven, we're going to have the capability of learning a whole lot more about the Lord and the mysteries of the Lord. But he was going to warn them in this second chapter of false teachings that was already infiltrated that church and the church at Laodicea. Here in this second chapter, as I said, I've outlined 8 thoughts I want to share with you today. Number one, look in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Let me ask you something this morning, church. How did you receive Jesus Christ? You received him by faith. Amen? That's how you receive Christ. You receive Christ by faith. And how did you know about Christ? You only knew about Christ by this book. No other way. And you cannot know Christ except by what this book says. And how can you know Christ? By faith. This is a book of faith. You live by faith. We believe this is God's word. And once we really believe, we can really know the Lord and enjoy the Lord and serve the Lord, be blessed of the Lord. So it's important that we understand, as Paul said here in this second chapter in verse 6, as ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. That means you've been saved now if you received him by faith. Now you're to live for him by faith. And how do I live by him? By faith. I live by what this book says. We live believing this book. We live living by this book. We put sin out and we bring obedience to the Lord into our hearts and into our lives. This is so important because we want the Lord to bless us. But if we don't obey the Lord can't bless us. He can't use us. And we don't want that to happen. I tell you what, when I see the Lord, I don't want to be embarrassed. I'll be embarrassed enough, but I want to be trying to live for the Lord and serve the Lord and enjoying the Lord while I'm here. And so if you were a saved person, you were saved by faith. You're not saved by the law or morals or religion or God. You know, some people think because I believe in God that I'm going to go to heaven. That's not so at all. That's not so at all. Islam believes in a God, Allah God. And so that's just one. There's others that believe in God. Other religions, they believe in God. But there's no salvation in God except through Jesus Christ. And that's so important for us to understand today. You did not do anything to be saved other than ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. Now, I'm talking about on a plain level today. All of us here in this church, if you're saved, you're saved because you asked the Lord to forgive you. You knew you had sinned. You were a sinner. And you asked the Lord to forgive you. And when you asked the Lord to forgive you, you were trusting Him and receiving Him as your Savior. It's like a man and a woman when they get married. They pledge themselves to one another. And so when we trust Christ, we give ourselves to Him. And remember when Jesus was walking by the seaside, He saw some men out mending their nets, and He said, "Follow me." They just dropped their nets and went to following Him. They followed them till they died serving Him. And so you and I as believers, our main focus in our life today is to obey Jesus Christ and follow Jesus Christ, church. And we do this because of what this book here says. This is our guide on how to live and please the Lord and be blessed to the Lord. And that don't mean that you won't have problems and troubles and trials, because the Bible also says we're going to experience problems just like the unsaved. But the Lord will be with us, and the Lord will make a way for us. Amen? Thank God for salvation, and it's available by faith. You don't have to have any money. So that makes it where everybody can have it. It's free. God has did everything for us to be saved, and He does not ask us to do anything except believe Him and obey Him. That's all He asked. And He'll give you salvation. And you'll live forever one of these days in a place where you won't have to cry anymore or struggle anymore. It's all free. But we got this nature about us that wants to wander away from the Lord, don't we? And if you don't stay in this book, you can get in some serious trouble and have some serious consequences, because the Lord's not going to let us play around, folks. Now, let me ask you this today. Why are so many people lost when salvation is free? Why so many people lost when salvation is free? You know why? They love their sin. They love their sin. And they don't believe the Bible. Oh, God's so good, He wouldn't do this. He wouldn't send nobody to hell. He's a good God. And He loves me. Folks, they're deceived as the devil is. Amen? Amen. God will let you go to hell if you reject His Son. I know that's plain, but it's also true. Amen. There's no shortcuts to heaven, folks. You got to go by the cross. And Jesus is the only hope. He's the only Savior. A lot of people are lost today because they don't believe this book. They don't believe it's the Word of God. They think some old men sometime was sitting around, maybe had a heat stroke or something and wrote this down. Amen? No, this is God's Word. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit moved on holy men of old, and they wrote down the Word of God. Thank God. This is the most blessed book in all the world, folks. It's priceless. And the more you read it, the more you love it. Yes. Oh, I wish I could just inhale it and remember every word of it. It's so good. But it don't work like that, does it? No. So many people think they do not think there's a God that they're accountable to. They don't think, "I've got to stand before God one day and give an account of my life." But you have. You can't get out of it. You can't take a sick day or a personal day or a vacation day. Every one of us is going to be brought to the judgment. There's going to be a lot of wishing then. A lot of wishing. Because that's going to be a solemn, serious time when I stand before my Creator. So that's the reason I try to warn. To remind you, you gotta face the judge. Better be prayed up and packed up and paid up, ready to go. Some people even hate God. Did you know that? There's people that even hate God. Maybe somebody in their family died, a child or mate or something. And that someone else in that family will hate God because of that. Well, the Bible says up front, it's appointed we're all going to die at some point. You can ride in your car with your seatbelt on and get killed. You can ride in your car without a seatbelt on and survive. It just comes when it's your time. We're not controlling anything, church. You're helpless before God Almighty. You better recognize that. Yes. Some people rather live as they praise rather than live for a God they can't see. Yeah. Let's look at a second thought that's in this chapter. It's very important. In verse 7. Look at verse 7. And it's rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you've been taught. It's my job to teach you. It's Johnny's job to teach you as a church. Hey, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Be thankful today that God has saved you if you're saved. Now, if you're here and you're not saved, the Bible says today's the day to get saved. You don't get saved by a feeling. You get saved when you're willing to repent of your sin and ask Jesus Christ to save you. And so Paul says to this church as he writes, rooted and built up in Him. You need to know about the Lord and how He's going to do it. Going back to this book again. The more you know about this book, the stronger you'll be as a Christian. If you don't read this book, if you don't have time for this book, you're cheating yourself. Amen. You're cheating yourself. And the more you read it, you can't read it too much. And the more you know, the better you're going to feel on the inside. The peace and the joy and the excitement of what could happen. Any moment I could be in heaven. Amen? Any moment. Y'all remember that? Some of you do. We had that preacher out here one Sunday night years ago. And he was just preaching away. And he looked up. He said, I wish the Lord would come now and get me. And he did. He died right there. But he wanted to go. He told the Lord, come get me. He got him. God's a real God, folks. He's a real God. Do you know why Christians get into sin? Look at me. You know why Christians get into sin? They're not grounded in the Word. You're not grounded in the Word. Again, we see the blessing of studying and hearing God's Word to enrich our lives as believers. The Apostle Paul tells us to be rooted and built up in Christ. Get involved in this book. You can't have too much time in it. And the more you know, the more blessed you'll be. Be certain you're saved. Are you sure you're saved? You really sure? You better be sure. Can't get saved at the judgment. Gonna be too late then. As you read God's Word, you can believe it and you can keep it in the context it's written. You got to rightly divide God's word. You can make the Bible say anything you want it to. That's the reason there's so many different churches today. People want it to say what they want it to say. Some ministers. Sometimes in this book you'll find angels talking. Sometimes you'll see the devil talking. Sometimes you'll see a donkey talking. Sometimes a man is talking. Then there's times Jesus is talking. You got to divide that. Keep it in its context. Or you can come up with all kind of teachings. Name it and claim it, some of them say. It's as false as a $3 bill. The more you know about the Bible, the greater your peace with God will be. The more you know about the Bible, the greater your peace and joy. The sweeter your fellowship with the Lord will be. You'll enjoy the Lord throughout the day. You'll find the more you read this book, the more your mind will be on things of the Lord rather than things of the world. You'll wake up in the night thinking about the Lord, talking to the Lord. Ride down the highway, you don't want to hear the radio, you want to hear, think about the Lord, or find somebody that's talking about the Lord on the radio. Folks, it's important. We're celebrating Christmas in a few days. You can celebrate Him every day. Amen. You can enjoy Him every day. Coming to church shouldn't be a burden to any of us. Remember, He went to a cross for you. Amen. You can't be in church. That's such a ridiculous thought, folks. He went to a cross for you. Amen. And we don't even want to come to church sometimes, some people. My goodness alive, folks. The more you know of God's word, the greater your knowledge and wisdom would be. I don't care how much education you got from these colleges that brainwash people. But the more you know about this book here, the wiser you'll be. And the more blessed you'll be. This is better than any college university teaches, folks. This is more rewarding. Neither college nor university or any school will tell you how to go to heaven unless it's a Christian university. And in our country, sadly, today, they want God out of our schools. And that's the reason our grammar grades in high schools today, we have school shootings. They voted God out. Amen. When I came along in school, we never had no such mess as that. Amen. Never. Amen. Because we had chapel. We talked about the Lord and going when I was going to school. Let's look at some number three right quick. In Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. And vain deceit after the tradition of men, after rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We got all kind of philosophies today and religions today. There's a teaching going around when Paul wrote this letter. He warned the church. He was warning them about this philosophy of Nazism. It's a teaching that the flesh was sinful, and therefore Christ was sinful because He had flesh. It was just a philosophy some of them had. Some of the Jews had that. This teaching taught that the flesh was sinful. Since Jesus had a body of flesh, He couldn't be God. But the body of Jesus did not have a sin nature as other men did it, folks. No, he was the Son of God. Mary had the Son of God conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit. That way, Jesus wouldn't have a sin nature. All of us humans, our fathers, are sinners. We can only produce sinners. But a wise God bypassed man, didn't he? And yet a man, Christ Jesus, through the incarnation. Boy, I just love to think about the incarnation. And here it is about Christmas, when God will become a man. Think about that, the awesomeness of this, folks. The awesomeness of God Almighty, the one that spoke and made the universe out of nothing, he become a man, just like me and you, except he didn't have any sin. He wouldn't sin. I know some Bible scholars say he could have sinned. I don't believe he could have sinned myself. Why? He's God. He hates sin. Why would he sin when he hates sin? He came to put away sin. That's what he did. He put away sin. And 2,000 years ago when Jesus hung on that cross, this is so awesome, church. He took everybody's sin that would live in this world and transferred it over to his Son. And then God himself judged his own Son, who was God. Don't ask me to explain that. Nobody can explain that. But all sin was paid for. Everybody's sin is already paid for. But if you don't go claim it, you won't have it. You got to go claim it. You got to believe on the one that paid for. John 3:16 makes that clear. That's the only verse you really need to understand that. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever will believe in him will have everlasting life. Amen. Oh, folks, no wonder we ought to be, Lord, bless my soul, oh Lord. Let my soul bless God too. Amen. The body of Jesus didn't have a sin nature as other men. He was consumed in the womb of a virgin. He was born the sinless Son of God. He would fully obey God. He always was said, I didn't come into this world to do my will. I came to do the will of my Father. Satan, the enemy of all mankind, works overtime, attempting to deceive as many people as he can concerning Jesus Christ. Satan's on the ball, folks. He don't slow up. He's looking for every way he can to either keep people from serving the Lord, being faithful to the Lord, or not trusting the Lord, one or the other. Man likes to hear philosophies of other religions or salvation. Often they're not even realizing it's Satan, his master plan to deceive them through some philosophy, through some false belief system. Let's look in Colossians chapter 2, 9. Folks, I could just park right here and spend a day. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Think about that verse, church. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know, Jesus Christ was as much God as God is God. Amen. You remember what he told Philip? He said, Philip, those that have seen me have seen the Father. Jesus Christ, think about this, church. Jesus Christ is the one that created the world. Read Colossians and you'll see that in the book of Colossians. I believe that's in the very first chapter that Jesus, he had part in the creation of the universe. And in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. What a great scripture. Think of this, that Jesus was actually God Almighty, clothed in sinless human flesh. He never had to say, Lord, forgive me. He never had any doubts. No, he was sinless. And he came to do the Father's will, not my will, but thine be done. Wonder what God is like? Just study the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they describe God and his ways. Jesus told Philip that those who had seen him had seen the Father. Think of the people in the days of Jesus when he was upon the earth, viewing God and never even recognizing him or would accept him. In the days of Jesus, people were seeing God and didn't even know it. They didn't recognize who he was. Even though he could raise the dead, he could cleanse the lepers, he could open the eyes of the blind. He did all these marvelous things. And people were just rejoicing with him. But in our Sunday school lesson this morning, we saw they weren't ready to receive him, were they? Man is so wishy-washy, isn't he? Man is so fickle. Man is so fickle. Oh, when we had a president several years ago now, oh, so many people hated him. But you know, some of them people now want him back. Do you know that? They're wanting him back now. Amen. Like that old saying, too late, Doc. Mom's already dead now. Amen. It was through the incarnation that God became human. I tell you what, that's a great mystery, isn't it, church? It's a great mystery. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The Apostle John said. Folks, that scripture is so beautiful. That scripture is so wonderful, folks. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. That was Jesus. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. Think about that transition there. From the Almighty to a man with a human body who had feelings just like me and you. But he would never yield to sin. That's my Savior. It's your Savior if you're saved. Amen? And he said, if you'll accept me, I'm going to come back one day and get you and take you to my house, to my Father's house. Oh, my goodness. Now for eternity, Jesus will always be a man. When we get to heaven, we're always going to see Jesus as a man, a person in a body. A body of flesh. It's glorified, but he's still one of us. Amen? I tell you what, folks, the riches of Christ by the grace of God. We ought to be jumping up and down and a hooping and a hollering. Praise God. Amen? I've been saved. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to live forever. And I'm not going to have any more doctor bills. Amen. I knew I'd hit a nerve somewhere. Amen. And your heat pump won't go out. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Let's look down now right quick in verse number 10. I could spend a day on all on each one of these points. But listen to this. Boy, I love this one now. Colossians 2:10. I hope you'll hide this verse in your heart. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power. Did you know you are complete in Christ? You're already complete. When you accepted Jesus Christ, we will give the righteousness of the Lord. Amen? Now, I know there's churches out there preaching, you got to have this and you got to have that. Let me tell you something. You're complete in Christ. That's what the Bible says. When you accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit took you and put you in Christ. That's called a baptism of the Holy Spirit, according to the Bible. That puts you and I in Christ, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It makes us a part of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is going to be the future bride of Christ. You know that, folks? At any second, we could be raptured out, be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, and then we could go to the wedding. Amen? Amen. And you won't have to pay the preacher. Amen? Amen. You're the work of Jesus upon the cross was for the putting away of sin. My sin. Your sin. Amen. The sin of all the world has been paid for. I've already said that. And it's available to anyone wise enough to know they need forgiveness. And if they'll humble themselves, you got to humble yourself. And to repent means you've been going the wrong way and you need to turn and come to Jesus. That's repentance. Believe on him and start serving him, loving him, and giving yourself to him. And if you work on it sincerely, you can get to the day you just utterly give yourself completely to the Lord, and then you'll really be experiencing real joy and peace. Yes, that's what we're supposed to do, folks. For we are complete in him. Hebrews 10:14. I love this verse in Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are saved. The day you got saved, if you were saved, you were perfected forever. We're perfected in Christ. I'm not perfected in myself. I'm perfected in Christ. I've been given eternal life the moment I got saved, church. I won't ever lose eternal life. You can't lose eternal life. Our sins has already been paid for. They've been scrubbed from God's book. Amen? Amen. God's not dealing with any of us Christians as sinners. He's dealing with us as the children of God. And we'll always be the children of God. Boy, I tell you what, the day that you see God and I see God and our Savior and we see all the love in his face. You see people today, you can see the love in their face towards you. Amen? You can see people, they just love you. A lady stopped and her boyfriend stopped at the house this morning. She saw me and she's always getting material from our church to give out to the rest homes in place. So she seen me going to the car, and her and her boyfriend come into the, she had just lost her husband about a year ago, but she come into our driveway and pulled up, and she said, I need some more material to give out. And you know what? I could see love all over that woman. I mean, towards me now. I mean, I'm not talking about the wrong kind of love now. I'm talking about... I'm not confessing before my wife. But it was the right kind of love. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Amen. You just see love in people, folks. You wait till you see the Lord. You're going to see some love like you never imagined. God loves you so much, church. And we need to straighten up and live right and represent him like we ought to. because we're the children of God. And people's looking at us to see, has Christ really changed them, made them different from me? This is so important, church. Yes, it's so important. Oh, I love that verse in Hebrews. For by one offering, he's perfected forever them that are sanctified. Let me tell you something. When I got saved at age 14, I've been saved ever since. But I sure haven't lived right ever since. But I've been saved ever since. I was made perfect in Christ because he washed all of our sins away. Isn't that awesome? In Hebrews 10:12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sit down at the right hand of God. Jesus won't have to go back to the cross and redo it, folks. He's already dealt with sin, and God is satisfied. How do I know God is satisfied besides the Bible telling me? And it does say he's satisfied. But God is satisfied by raising Jesus from the dead. That's the reason Jesus won't have to die for sin again. God is satisfied about the sin problem in the world. And God has said, now if you'll accept my son, I'll accept you. Amen? You accept my son, I'll accept you. You don't accept my son, you ain't coming to my house. You're not coming to my house. Look at verse 11 of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In the Old Testament, the men had to be circumcised. But we don't have to be circumcised in the flesh. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you are circumcised by the Holy Spirit in your heart. The Holy Spirit cuts out sin. And we are born again. We made a new person in Jesus Christ. All on the cross, all the charges of sin against us was nailed to his cross. Is that a forewarning? Colossians 2:13 through 15, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, in which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Think about this, folks. All of sin was nailed to his cross. The Mosaic law with all its demands was nailed to the cross. We don't live by the Mosaic law, folks. We live by faith in Jesus Christ, who's already paid for the sins of all the world. But only those that are willing to accept him have that forgiveness. And quickly, let's look in Colossians 2:12. The Bible says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. You know, when you were saved, you said you were saved. What happened? You had to be baptized, or you were supposed to be baptized. When a person is saved, they're supposed to be baptized by immersion. By immersion. Only immersion is a picture of our death and burial and resurrection with the Lord Jesus Christ. No other. Some people sprinkle. But that's not a picture of the death, burial, and the resurrection. Jesus Christ went down into death, and then he was raised. And the Bible tells us that we are also to be baptized. Turning back to Matthew chapter 28, the Bible, in giving out the Great Commission, Jesus said this. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We're supposed to be baptized. That identifies us with Jesus Christ as our Savior. I tell you what, when I was 14 and I got saved, and then when I was baptized, you know, something happened on the inside of me by being baptized. I had a certain peace or something that made I had did what the Lord said to do. I don't know what your experience was, but that was mine. So we have we're to be buried with him in baptism, and that's a picture of his death, burial, and resurrection. And that is talking about how that he was putting away sin. He had paid for sin. He went down into death. Then he conquered death. And he's alive forever. And because he lives, he said we too would live that believe in him. Hallelujah. What a Savior, church. What a Savior. Hey, money can't buy what I knew today that I have. I have salvation. Do you know you have salvation? That you're going to live forever? Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah. And lastly, right quick, in Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins. See, we were dead in sin. We couldn't get out of sin. I tell you something else. You didn't want to get out of sin, and neither did I. We were satisfied as a sinner. We wanted to live the way we wanted to live. We had our plans, amen? But we heard the gospel one day, and we got convicted, and we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened. That word quickened there means made alive. We were dead spiritually, but he quickened us when we believed the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so in Jesus Christ, we were made alive by the Holy Spirit when we repented of our sin and asked Christ to be our Savior. Let me tell you something as we close today. Listen to me carefully. The greatest thing that can happen to anyone is to be made alive in Jesus Christ. There's nothing greater that can happen to you. No, there's nothing greater that can happen to you than being saved, church. We were all spiritually dead until we were born again through faith in Jesus. And I'm talking about the Jesus that's the Son of God. Jesus told Nicodemus, one had to be born again to even see the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Got to have, we were born into this world. We got a little one back here to let us know he's just coming to a bad world, amen. And I don't believe it likes it too much, amen. But I pray it's got a hard road to go now, amen. But raise that little thing up to love the Lord and know the Lord and serve the Lord so he'll live with the Lord. And all you children back there, I hope you're getting some gospel in you this morning. Jesus Christ, he's brought you in the world for you to know him and live with him, but you're going to have to make your own decision. Everybody makes their own decision. Nobody can't make it for you. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, of incorruptible. We're born again by the word of God. You got to believe the gospel of the word of God. Then you can be born again. And then you can go live with the Lord and live with the Lord forever. You know, when we get to heaven, there's not going to be anybody there thinks they're better than you are. There's not going to be anybody looking down on you. There's not going to be anybody trying to push and get ahead of you. Amen? No, there ain't nobody be talking about you to your back. Amen? Going to be a different world, church. Amen. We're going to a holy place where there won't be any more taints of sin. And where fallen humans are living together. No, we're going to be holy people, loving the Lord and serving the Lord and enjoying the Lord. And it won't ever come to an end. I can hardly wait. Amen. Amen. Oh, let's love the Lord and be faithful. Let's keep getting out the gospel here at the church. Let's keep sharing the gospel, folks. And the Lord will bless us for all we do to help other people get to know the Lord. Amen. Loving God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the grace of God and the Word of God. Bless this body of people here today. Should there be someone here today that's never really, honestly repented of their sin and asked Jesus to be their Savior, Lord, I pray the Spirit of God would draw them to the Savior, Lord, and help them to call on the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And they'd start loving you and serving you. And you could use them, Lord, to help somebody else know of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Thank you again for this time. Bless each one gathered here today. We all got our different problems and our different needs, Lord. So just make a way for us as you promised. And we'll thank you and love you and praise you forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord speak to hearts today.